Good evening. You are listening to Universal Energy Radio Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Today is Wednesday, March the 11th, and you are listening to This Is Self-Mastery Through the Law of Attraction. I am your host, Mary Jo Bull. Thanks so much for joining me here tonight. If you are joining me via the internet, I invite you to sit back, listen, make any observations that you might have as a result of maybe some new information you might hear tonight. I love to hear from listeners during the show and after the show as well. If you are listening through the internet and you do have a question or something that you might like me to address, but you're a little shy and you really don't want to hear your voice on the line, you can send me a text. That number is 703-943-9705. And I'll be happy to address your question here tonight if we have time. If you prefer to talk to me directly, you can call the show line, and that number is 718-664-9124. You can listen through the phone, or you can call in and then press 1 on your phone, and I'll open your mic and we can have a conversation. That's one of the things I really enjoy about this medium, is being able to talk one-on-one with folks who are looking for more information, deeper information about themselves, about what's going on in the world today. And there is a lot going on in the world today. I don't think there's any question about that. It's my intention with this weekly program to create a safe space for conversations and discussions that will lead to clarity. And that hopefully, because of that clarity, listeners can experience breakthroughs, epiphanies, even revelations. So that is my intention with this work. And I would love to hear from you after the calls, after the show, with any comments that you might have. You can post them at the bottom of the show page anytime, especially once the show's been archived. You can also feel free to send me an email. My email address is mjbullinfo, I-N-F-O, at AOL.com. Would love to also connect with you via social media. And I've posted all of my links on my website, which is Logos, L-O-G-O-S, Praxis, P, like Paul, R-A-X-I-S.com. So let's connect on social media. So the obvious, but I'm probably going to, there's a lot happening in our world right now. And there's a lot of fear and a lot of controversy, a lot of confusion and a lot of chaos. And it was through a difficult dynamic, didn't look the same as what we're looking at right now, but through my own challenges and struggles in life, where I was experiencing a lot of discomfort, that I came upon this phenomenon that was coming into the mainstream back in the late part of the 20th century, called the Law of Attraction. What is the Law of Attraction? We hear that phrase tossed around a lot these days. And the most simple explanation I can give of the Law of Attraction is that which is like unto itself is drawn. Another way of phrasing it is, we get back what we put out. Like attracts like. And it's because of the Law of Attraction that each of us creates our own reality. And that reality can be hell, and it can be heaven, and it can be anywhere in between, and it can vary from day to day. Sometimes it can vary hour by hour, depending on what's going on in our life. But the reason why I have doggedly pursued my understanding of the law of attraction and all of the ensuing information that I've also learned and personalized and experienced, proved to myself, is because I want to feel good. I think we all want to feel good. I think if we ask random people on the street, you know, what do you want? Do you know what you want out of life? I think a majority of us would be hard-pressed to be able to say exactly what it is that we want out of life. I also think that most of us would agree with the very simple statement, I just want to be happy. I just want to feel good. When I first started studying the law of attraction, my motivation was, I don't want to be afraid anymore. And that sort of developed into understanding why I felt fear constantly at the time. And I can say that pursuing these studies over the last two decades has led to my living a life of a lot more peace and a lot more calm, greater abundance and prosperity, good health, good relationships, and a deeper understanding of who I am and where I come from and what I'm capable of doing, and that I am capable of creating my own reality in any given moment. So how do we create our own reality? How do we do that? Well, we do it through our thoughts. We do it through what we think about. We do it through what we focus on. What we focus on expands. For those of you who are on Facebook, I posted a video yesterday. It's about a 10-minute video, more on this idea of what we focus on expands. And you can find that video by, again, going to my website, logospraxis.com. Click on the Facebook icon and it will take you right to the Logos Praxis page. And the video is posted there. What we focus on expands. And what we think about, we bring about. Kind of a trite and a little, you know, kitschy saying, but it's true. What we think about, we bring about. Our emotions usually dictate our thoughts. This is kind of where we get started, I think. And in my case, it was definitely true. My emotions, how I felt and how I had been feeling for a greater part of 30 years of my life, finally really got my attention. My health was impacted, and that got my attention. And I was asking for assistance. I was asking to understand. I wanted to come to some kind of a logical understanding of why I was always feeling so afraid, because the outer circumstances of my life were disproportionate to the fear that I felt. And once I came to understand what my emotions were about, what the purpose of my feelings was, I started to then start paying more attention to what I was thinking about. Because the way that the physiology, I guess, is probably the best word, of our mind and of our brain is that we receive a thought. I believe that we receive thoughts. I think that we are rarely thinking on our own deliberately, so to speak. I think that depending on our mindset, our perspective, our viewpoint, that we receive thoughts. It's said that every thought that has ever been thought still exists out there in the collective consciousness. And depending on where we're tuned, I have one teacher that I listen to frequently who talks about our focus is akin to tuning to a radio station. If you want to hear country music, for example, you have to tune to a country music station. You can't realistically expect to tune into a rap station and expect to hear country western music. You can't tune into 106.7, expect to hear what's being broadcast on 92.6. The frequencies don't match up. So what I learned, again, over the last 2 decades or more, is that my feelings are the most important inner guide I have. And I don't have to go anywhere to get that. Right? That's a default setting. We all come fully loaded with all the tools that we need to create and live a life we desire, or to create a life that we don't desire. It's totally our choice. But we come fully loaded, and unfortunately, well, some would say we don't come with a manual. It doesn't come with a user's manual. That is an inaccurate statement. There are many, many, many writings, publications, scriptures, ancient wisdom that have been written down and set aside and available to us for millennia. There's an expression, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I think that I was ready to come to a deeper understanding of the truth of who I was. And I was asking for more information. And my sister actually was the one who told me about my very first teacher. And I sort of took off from there. And what I learned was that our emotions, I'll get to the physiology in just a minute. I know I mentioned that a minute ago. Our emotions are what usually get our attention, right? We know when we feel really uncomfortable. We know when we feel really scared or really unhappy or worried, or sometimes what we feel isn't even that overt. There can just be this feeling of unsettled, of just sort of a frisson of discomfort, disturbance in the force, for you Star Wars fans. And when that gets our attention, that is a message, if you will, from, I guess the term that I like to use that I'm most comfortable with is higher self. I've come to understand that I am And you are, and we all are, a spark of the divine here in this physical world, a form. If it weren't for infinite intelligence, we would not be. We would not be in this world. We would not breathe. We would not encounter. We would not have relationships. We would not have experiences. We are a spark of the divine, which has intended itself here into this world of form with the purpose of knowing itself completely in the best way, frankly, the only way to know yourself is in relationship to something else. So we are a spark of the divine, and the greater part of us, the greater part of our soul, if you will, still remains with infinite intelligence. I like to use the illustration of NASA and the International Space Station, or a space shuttle. Our higher self is NASA, and we, walking around here in this physical world of form, are the space shuttle or the International Space Station. The space shuttle is just a small piece of the NASA program, and it relies on communication with and help from and assistance from NASA, which is based here on Earth. So when we feel calm, peaceful, happy, hopeful, ecstatic, joyous, jubilant, excited, we are fully allowing our connection with that higher self. We are fully allowing that flow of all that is ours by divine right, because every good thing, every wonderful thing, everything that is related to the term that's most often used is love, is ours by divine right. We don't have to prove our worthiness. We are worthy just because we're here. And we're here because we're worthy. So when we feel love and above, I guess is a good way to put it. I would say anything above a feeling of calm, peace. We are in the flow. We are allowing that flow of love and information and creativity and resources and guidance to flow into our mind. We are in the mind of the infinite creator, of infinite intelligence. When our thoughts are resisting that flow, so anything that you would term fearful or worrisome or doubtful, whatever adjective you want to pull out of the ether, whatever adjective appeals to you or is showing up in your life right now, if you're feeling anything that is fear-based, you're pinching yourself off from that flow. It would be like the space shuttle flying outside of the atmosphere and asking NASA for assistance, but they're not tuned to NASA. They're tuned to space junk. They're tuned to static. They're tuned to something that's not going to allow the information that is available to them if they would reset their tuner to NASA. And so when we are pinched off like that, when we're feeling fearful, when we're feeling worried or doubting or scared. We are that emotion, that feeling is meant to get our attention for us to then look at what we were thinking about. What are the thoughts? What receiving mode, if you will, are you in? If you're feeling worried and doubtful and scared, then you are in the receiving mode of thoughts that are going to be worrisome and doubtful and scary and fearful. And you have a choice when you recognize this. You have a choice in that moment to decide whether you want to continue down that rabbit hole or if you would like to change your perspective and your point of view in that moment. So let me take a minute here to summarize what I just covered, and to remind you that if you have a question, you can access the studio through the phone. You can call 718-664-9124 and hit the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and I'll open your mic and you can ask your question, or you can text me your question at 703-943-9705. So to summarize, the law of attraction says that which is likened to itself is drawn. We put out, we get back, like attracts like. What we think about, we bring about. What we focus on expands. And we have a choice with regard to what we're focusing on. And we can know if what we're focusing on is in alignment with the truth of who we are, our true nature, which is a spark of the divine, expressing itself here in this physical realm, or whether we're pinching ourselves off from that. When you're in alignment with the truth of who you are, you feel good. You feel calm and peaceful, happy, optimistic, hopeful, joyous. So your feelings, our feelings, are what normally gets our attention. And that's when we can be led to looking at what we were thinking about. What was I focusing on? And this can happen many, many times, even throughout a day. Often, almost every morning, I do meditate every morning, and I set the intention that today I want to feel good. I don't really get more specific than that. I just focus on I'm wanting to feel good. I'm going to look for reasons to feel good, because I also have the choice of looking for reasons to feel bad, and there are many of them out there. I can use those as justification for cutting myself off from the truth of who I am. But because I've set my intention to feel good and to only look for reasons to feel good, I'm probably going to have that experience throughout my day. I may have opportunities throughout the day to take a beat to reset that intention. But if I get out ahead of it first thing in the morning and set my energy, set my focus for the day, I have a much better chance of actually having the day that I intend to have. So feelings are meant to get our attention. The way that I've come to see it is that that which intended itself here to express itself here in this physical world of form certainly understood the vehicle that would carry that spark of life and the divine around here on this physical world of form. It understood all aspects of the human experience, and it created fail-safes to stack the dice in our favor. it might be hard to believe that right now, looking out into this physical world of form, but the dice are stacked in our favor. We are wired to thrive. And that which created us intends that for us. And only the best will do. Only the best is for us. So, the Creator understood once here on this physical, in this physical world, on this physical plane, the likelihood of forgetting where we came from, especially forgetting by the time we are the age, we reach the age of reason and discernment and judgment and thinking. It recognized that by the time we reach that age, we will most likely have forgotten where we come from and who we really are. There are a very rare few human beings who have walked this earth who did not forget, and they are reference beings for us. And there has been wisdom left behind by them that is available to us that we can study and access and personalize and then experience as well. So we have an emotion. If it's a happy emotion, if we're feeling good and hopeful and optimistic and light and happy, then awesome. Then we are in alignment with the truth of who we are. We are in alignment with the flow. We, our valve is open, and all that we have identified as our desire is manifesting for us. All we have to do, it sounds simple, times when it's not easy, I will grant you that, but all we have to do is keep that valve open. Keep ourselves in a state of allowing. That's all you have to do. That is all you have to do. That's all you have to do. And we do that by paying really close attention to how we feel, because when we start to dip, if our energy starts to dip, if our feeling, how we feel starts to dip, we can know that, okay, What was I thinking about just then? What was I paying attention to just then? Sometimes it'll be really obvious and we can decide that we're going to pivot and we're going to change the thought. We're going to, if we were looking at lack of some kind, then we can pivot and look at abundance instead. You know, every subject, it's like a stick, and on one end of the stick is that which is desired, and on the other end of the stick is the focus on the lack of what is desired. And we can change which end of the stick we're focused on, and we can do that fairly easily. Now, it takes practice. I've talked to many people over the years, And I'm sure I probably had this conversation with myself as well when I was first studying self-mastery. People say, but it's hard. It's so hard. And sometimes they're in tears when they say this. And I get it. And I hear that. I hear it. And what I say is, you just haven't practiced it yet. If you'll practice it, if you'll make the commitment to yourself to practice it, it doesn't take very long before that voice, those voices, those negative voices in your mind stop. They literally stop. It takes about 3 weeks. I had a teacher tell me that. It takes about 3 weeks. And I did what he said, and he was right. And it took about 3 weeks. So our feelings will tell us what we're thinking. We'll point to our thoughts. Change your thought. Change your perspective. Change your focus. And you'll change your experience. It's really as simple as that. Again, simple formula, challenging to carry out in the very beginning, but you've got to decide. You've got to make the commitment. Is it worth it? Is this effort, is this work worth your time and attention? I personally can attribute to a resounding yes, it is worth it. It's not just worth it. You benefit, the people around you benefit, your family and your friends benefit, and ultimately it's how we change the world. Physiologically, I've come to understand that the physical body is made up of hormones and proteins. At the subatomic level, we're made up of atoms that are vibrating at different frequencies. And when we have a thought, we create a chemical. And if it's a fearful thought, we create a fight or flight chemical, a fight or flight hormone. When we have a fearful thought, our brain sends a signal to our endocrine system to release adrenaline, cortisol, and there's another one, and the name escapes me. And those hormones course through our body via the bloodstream. This was at one time an adaptive tool when we were early humans and still living on a planet that had many dangers, saber-toothed tigers and things like that. And we didn't have the luxuries that we have now. We didn't live in the modern society that we live in now. We had to pay attention to our surroundings. And so there was sort of probably constantly that sense of defensiveness, right? Yeah, I was kind of, there was always a lookout. Somebody, you know, we traveled in groups. We traveled in tribes. We, you know, you didn't live very long if you were on your own. And so that fight or flight response was an adaptive response, but now it's maladaptive. Because now we have the ability to understand and reason and make new choices, okay? But many of us don't know this. And so I dare say that most people, I think I actually read a statistic once that scientists said 75% of us live in fight or flight 75% of the time and 75% of our life. So most people are walking around in fight or flight. Sometimes it's kind of a low key, you know, they're just kind of irritated, easily annoyed. And sometimes it's, you know, full-fledged terror. And the longer you live that idea or that fight or flight atmosphere, the cells of your body develop a hormone, if you will. And you live this way long enough, this becomes your temperament. I think it's almost like the way I've come to see it and understand it is, it's almost like an addiction. It's almost like it's almost as though the body has become used to living like this. So when you make the decision to change, when, let's say you've heard someone like me talking, or you've read a book, or you've seen a movie, and you decide, you know what? I want to be happy. I want to be less judgmental. I want to be more compassionate. I'm going to be happy. From now on, I am going to be happy. I'm going to make the decision to be happy. And initially, that might work, if you will, for about, I don't know, 15, maybe 30 minutes. But because we don't have the skills of focus that it takes to change your life, I heard someone, a speaker once say that we lose our focus every 4 to 6 seconds. So you've set the intention, I'm going to feel good, I'm going to be happy, I'm going to be less judgmental, I'm going to be less angry. And it feels really good. You feel really good about yourself. You made a really good decision. And this is great. I feel really great. And I don't know, 15 minutes maybe goes by, and suddenly you realize that you're having an argument with your spouse, or you're watching a television show that makes you feel anxious, or some situation arises and you have lost the intention of feeling good. And so you set the intention again, and it's something that you have to continue to revisit. And it happens when you're out in the world, you're out and about, you're communicating with colleagues and coworkers and family and friends and vendors. And so every moment is an opportunity to reset your intention. And if you can really accept the idea that how you feel is everything, that's going to be the first best choice that you make right there. Because how you feel will always tell you where you are in terms of your focus. So back to the physiology. We have a thought. It's a fight or flight thought. The brain tells the endocrine system to release fight or flight hormones. Those run through our system. We feel uncomfortable. We think about how uncomfortable we feel. We think about the reason that we feel uncomfortable. The brain tells the endocrine system to release more fight or flight hormones. It's a loop. I'm sure you can see that it's a loop. And so we have to break the loop, to break the chemical loop. And the way you do that is by changing what you're focused on. And if you can change what you're focusing on related to the subject that you are focusing on, great. Like if you were focused on not having enough money, or you're worried about your health, or you're worried about a family member, if you can change your focus on that specific topic, great. If you can't, and often those things that bring up that really painful feeling of anxiety and fear and doubt and worry, very, very challenging to shift your focus on that. If you can just redirect your attention to something else, and again, this is challenging because the voice in your head is going to be screaming at you that you have to address whatever this problem is first before you can feel good. And sometimes that's true. But I'm not talking about those times. I'm talking about other times when you have the room and the space to change your focus, to change what you're looking at. So if you can't change your focus about that particular topic, do something else. Either take a nap, because when we're asleep, obviously we lose our focus, and any momentum that we have going in a specific direction around a specific topic stops. And when you wake up, you can start again. So either take a nap or call a friend who you can rely on to help you lift your mood, read a book, watch a funny movie. Humor is a great way to reset your energy. So, you know, either, like I said, watch a funny movie, read a funny book. It's probably not the time to go on social media. That can actually exacerbate what you're feeling. But just find some way to break the chemical signature, if you will. Change the nature of your focus. And if you, and then just tell yourself, I'll come back to it and I'll come back to it later, whether later is a few hours later, or the next day or whatever. Dedicated commitment to this process. And it works. And it works miracles. It not just works, it works miracles. When we feel fearful, when we are focused on thoughts that make us feel anxious or worried or doubtful or fearful, we have cut ourselves off. We can't cut ourselves off because this is, you know, we are sparks of the divine walking around here in physical bodies. But when we have pinched ourselves off from that spark, what that means is, and the Course in Miracles, A Course in Miracles states it so beautifully. It says the presence of fear is evidence that you are trusting in your own strength. Okay. Remember earlier in the conversation, I talked about the analogy of NASA and the space shuttle. When you feel fearful, you're the space shuttle, trusting only in your little limited onboard resources. Why would you do that when you have an entire body of support like NASA? So it's just a reminder. The presence of fear is supposed to get our attention. Hey, you're trusting in your own strength, and there's this whole other unseen realm that is available to you. Do you know someone actually sat down and counted that there are 365 examples in the Bible that tell us not to be afraid? The Bible and other ancient texts can all be considered guides to better living, for contentment and prosperity. Essentially, they're self-help resources that advocate improved ways of living and behaving and thinking. So if you're somebody who says, the Bible, I would ask you to reconsider. I'm not proselytizing here. I am not promoting any religion. I do not practice any religion myself. However, I would not be foolish enough to cut myself off from a resource that's going to help me to reconnect with the truth of who I am simply because of a religious or a tribal mythology. So I would ask you to just reconsider that there is value in these words, in those ancient words and wisdom. So there are also wisdom teachings that do talk about this process that I just mentioned about changing the way that you think and how over, well, I say 3 weeks, let's say 3 to 4 weeks time, you can change your entire perspective on the world. There are wisdom teachings that actually talk about this. And what's happened is when you think a thought long enough, when you have a focus long enough, when you have developed a temperament, you have neural networks in your brain, physical networks in your brain, networks of neurons that have, over this extended period of time, fired together and wired together. So to change your perspective and your experience, you have to allow the neural networks to dissipate and diminish. And you have to build new neural networks. And that's how you diminish a neural network, is by not thinking those thoughts anymore, by deliberately thinking thoughts that feel better and better and better over time. And pretty soon, I will guarantee you those neural networks, they diminish, they die down. They rarely raise their heads again going forward. It's worth it. It's definitely worth doing the work. So, law of attraction says that which is likened to itself is drawn. What we put out, we get back. What we think about, we bring about. Do you believe that you create your own reality? Do you believe? Can you allow yourself? Are you willing to believe that you create your own reality? I think a big reason why there's so much fear in the world, especially right now, is because we're hearing information and seeing information through avenues that give us a deep sense of insecurity and being out of control. And if you can allow yourself to do this work and understand you have more control than you're being led to believe that you do, then you can change your experience, and you don't have to experience what's being predicted out there in the ethos. Your worst enemy is the media. I can say that with absolute certainty. Your worst enemy is the media. And I'll tell you why. What is being broadcast and offered through media outlets exclusively inaccurate, flawed, and incomplete information. And these media outlets would claim that their purpose for being is to give you accurate reporting so that you can make informed decisions for yourself. And with a handful of exceptions, media outlets don't do that. They don't fully report. They take bits and pieces and give you just enough information to scare the bejesus out of you most of the time. I stopped watching the news. I don't even remember when it was. I haven't watched the news in, 20 years, 15, 20 years. I don't watch the news. I don't read the newspaper. I told a friend of mine that once, and she said, "How do you stay informed about what's going on in the world?" I said, "Well, I don't. But interestingly enough, whatever information I need to have somehow finds its way to me." That's that higher higher self that I was talking about earlier in this broadcast. If I believed that the reporting that comes out of these media outlets really was balanced and accurate and fair and not intended to scare the bejesus out of me, I might give it a shot, but I know too much. And I've seen inaccurate reporting, and I just don't believe that. I believe there are other ways for you to get information that's actually going to be helpful to you. And there are many, many sources out there that you can rely on and that you can listen to. And I would advise you, especially now, to go and look for those other sources of information, those teachers, And you'll know them. You'll know that they are authentic and worth listening to because they won't scare the bejesus out of you. Their message will be uplifting and hopeful and actually quite promising. It will give you a sense of relief when you hear their words or you read their words. And if you would like referrals, if you're wanting to know, well, who exactly are you talking about? Who can you tell me about? Do you have any books that might help or websites or what have you? Reach out to me through my website and send me an email through my website, and I will definitely get back to you because I know I listen to a lot of them. I can't say I know them all, but I listen to many of them. I've read their books. I go back to their teachings very, very often. I'll be real straightforward with you. I talk about this. I teach about this. I talk to groups about this. And the last couple of days I've been struggling with it myself and asking myself, what is going on? Why are you experiencing this? So I think everybody is being challenged. This is the purpose of challenges like this. It's kind of like when you want to build muscle mass in your upper arms, for example, you introduce resistance, build the muscle, right? You pick up a weight and you tense the muscle and you move your lower arm so that you lift your hand up to your shoulder. That is resistance. And that resistance is what's building that muscle and making it stronger. What we're seeing in the world right now is a way to build. First of all, it's a way for you to be able to identify what your beliefs are and what your convictions are that are not in harmony with the truth of who you are. And you'll know they're there because of how you feel. So that is one of the proactive purposes of events like this, is for you to be able to see in yourself beliefs and convictions that aren't in alignment with the truth of who you are. And once you see them, you can then release them. If you don't know they're there, then you can't release them. They can still hold a great deal of sway over you, okay? These programs, these ideas and beliefs and convictions, they run in the background. We're kind of like a computer, if you will, and we've got programs running in the background we're not even aware of. This is one of the fail-safes that I mentioned earlier in the program. The creator put this fail-safe in that when you've got a program running that's not in alignment with the truth of who you are, you're going to feel crappy. And then you can be alert to the fact that you don't feel well, that you're feeling scared, worried, doubtful. You pick the adjective. You can identify the thought and the belief that doesn't serve you, and you can choose to release it. So that's one of the fail-safes, again, that's built into our physiology. So you have a lot more control over your experience than you've been led to believe. We all have a lot more control over our experience than we have been led to believe. Now, I want to acknowledge that there are those of us here on the planet who are having experiences that might make us more vulnerable to, I don't even want to say the word. You all know what I'm talking about. There was a huge announcement today from the World Health Organization about it. There are those of us who have bodily circumstances that might leave us more vulnerable to situations and conditions like this. I acknowledge that. I'm not saying that there are not those who are sick. What I'm saying is oftentimes sickness is evidence that we're not allowing well-being to flow. So if you are someone who is feeling more vulnerable because of your circumstances, health-wise or whatever, you know, anything that eats at you mentally, emotionally, then the information that I'm sharing, I hope that the information that I'm sharing on this broadcast today can help you to ultimately reach peace in your mind, because honestly, that is what we all desire. Peace of mind is everything. Peace of mind is everything. And I am here to tell you personally, this is not philosophy. I have moved from philosophy to mastery. Now, I'm not going to say I'm a master, but I've got a better handle on this now than I did 10 years ago. I'm going to tell you that peace of mind is everything, and it is possible for you to have peace in your mind. And nothing outside of you has to change for you to have peace in your mind. But you know what? You do the work, you get peace in your mind, and everything outside of you is going to change. Because of who you are, because of who we are gods walking around in these physical bodies. We are sparks of the divine walking around here in this physical realm, expressing itself. We have access to the power of co-creation through our thoughts and our emotions. If we will just honor those, we live in a world that doesn't honor emotion. It doesn't honor feeling. That has to change, and it can change one person at a time. When you learn to understand the purpose of your feelings, the messages that they're giving you, when you learn to understand that they are valid, feelings are not proof that what you're thinking is true. Okay, that's what I believed for the first 40 years of my life. I believed that I was afraid because what I was thinking was true. But then when I finally started to really look at it, I'm like, I think I said in the beginning of the broadcast, my outer world did not reflect what I was feeling inside. So it was like, okay, well, if I think that these feelings are an indication what I'm thinking is true, but what I'm thinking about isn't actually full-fledged happening, then something is off with my thinking here. And that's when I came to understand that committing to honoring your feelings and recognizing that they are a tool for you to understand where you are in the creation process, that they are a way of the divine to communicate that what you're focused on isn't in harmony with the truth of who you are, and that you can change your thoughts and you can change your beliefs. It takes effort, just like it takes effort to build muscle or to lose weight or to improve your relationships. It takes effort. Can be done, and it can be done a lot more quickly than you might think. For a long time, I was the first one to say, I don't know, you know, why bother? I'm so far gone. There's no way. And then I came across a teacher who demonstrated that thought and feeling is creative, and demonstrated it in a truly miraculous way. This man healed his physical body through thought and emotion alone, of an absolutely devastating traumatic event that should have left him paralyzed from the chest down. And he chose to work with the mantra, that which made the body heals the body. And I offer that to those of you who might be struggling right now around this current worldwide condition, to give you some peace in your mind to help you release the resistance to the natural flow of what is yours by divine right. That mantra, that which made the body heals the body. That which made the body heals the body. Can you feel the peace in that? When you say that to yourself, that which made the body heals the body. Whew, can you take a deeper breath? One of the things I've noticed is that when we're in that state of contraction, because when we're feeling good, when we're feeling in alignment with the truth of who we are, we feel expansive and free. When we're in a state of contraction, we're pinching ourselves off from the truth of who we are. So when we repeat these life-affirming, life-allowing mantras, that which made the body heals the body, that which made the body heals the body, suddenly you can take a deep breath, which is hard to do when you're in a contracted state. Do you know that you wouldn't know this, you're not me, but I recently read an article about why deep breathing actually does make us feel better. You know how sometimes when you're really tense or upset, you know, someone will say to you, okay, sit down, take a breath, breathe. It's not just because you're breathing shallow, though you are. There's a nerve, a major nerve in the body called the vagus nerve that is related to or connected to this fight or flight condition. And when you take deep breaths, deep cleansing breaths, it activates the vagus nerve and it calms the fight or flight reflex down. The release of those fight or flight hormones. So these life-affirming mantras, like that which made the body heals the body, calms it down, calms that fight or flight reflex down, and allows you to take those deep cleansing breaths. And when you're in that state, you will, you know, notice that you feel calmer. And this is the time when you feel calmer to then change your focus. You can continue that mantra, that which made the body heals the body. Or you can use affirmations, further inflame the feeling of lack that you had. If you use affirmations and you start to feel that tension again, stop. Go back to the other mantra, or again, take a nap. Call a friend, go for a walk. Nature is a wonderful healing presence. Get outside, just put your feet on the ground. They don't have to be bare, you can have shoes on. But just put your feet in the grass and close your eyes and just kind of feel that energy of nature around you. Very, very healing. Turn off your TV. Don't go to your typical news sources. Find another source that's going to make you feel better. That is the best piece of advice I can give you, aside from honor how you feel. Nothing is more important than how you feel. Nothing is more important than how you feel. So we went a little bit over an hour. I hope that the information that I offered this evening is helpful to you, especially during these challenging opportunities. I think the ancient symbol, Chinese symbol for chaos, indicates that where there's chaos, there's an opportunity for change, and you can make this work for you. Yeah, you really can. There are people like me who are out there to help you. There are tons and tons of resources, YouTube videos, books, blogs, vlogs, the whole shebang. Reach out to me on social media. Reach out to me via email. I'm more than happy to talk to you. You'll note on my website under testimonials, several of the people who have given testimonials will have said that I've had phone conversations with them. I do this and I don't charge for it. Sometimes all it takes is one phone call to shift your perspective and you feel better and things can change. And there, those testimonials on that page will show you that that is an option. It's available to you. You can reach out and you can take advantage of that option. Please do visit my website, logospraxis.com. Send me an email. Connect with me through social media. I'm happy to give you more resources to help you. This time and time is all about us reconnecting with the truth of who we are. That's what we're here to do. Our life purpose, reconnect with the truth of who we are and where we came from. And it's easier than you think. It's easier to do than you think. So my next show is a week from tonight, Wednesday, March 18th, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Actually, it's Eastern Daylight Time now, isn't it? I do hope that you'll listen in. Connect with me through social media in the meantime if you feel compelled to do so. I want to thank you for listening to Universal Energy Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. If you like the show and if you like Universal Energy Radio, there's other programming on Universal Energy Radio that you might resonate with. So feel free to kind of look around the station page. But visit us at iTunes and rate the show. And again, you can leave comments at the bottom of the show page. Once it's been archived, leave questions, comments. You know, I'm happy to get back to you if you have a question or something that you're wanting to work on or to work out. Leave your feedback. I love to hear from you. Thank you again. Have a terrific week and turn off your television. Take good care. Good night now.